Hello and welcome to the Bridge City Church podcast. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church. Or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m. We'd love to have a coffee and a chat. We hope you enjoy this week's message, brought to you by Pastor Robin. See you at church.
Well, good morning. So good to see you all here this morning. Who's had a good week? Who's had a challenging week? Who's had both? It's life, isn't it? It's wonderful to be in the house this morning. And I'm just so blessed to be able to bring the word this morning. I just want to encourage you all that no matter what your week has been, today's a new day, tomorrow's another day, and today we do today, and it's good, isn't it? It's awesome. It's awesome. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, could you turn to the book of Psalms? And I'd like to speak from Psalm number 63 this morning. And the PowerPoint will be up there, I guess, shortly. So, Lord God, we thank you. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul will be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that in this house your word is truth, your word is life. And Lord God, we just proclaim that fullness of your word in this house this morning. Lord, that you would take your word, speak through me, that you would make my tongue as the pen of a skillful writer. And Father God, for everyone listening to you this morning, Father, that they would receive from you exactly what you have for each one, whether it be in this house or online. Father, I thank you that as your word goes forth, it prospers in that which you send it to work within. And I pray, Father, that this word this morning will be meat for those who need meat and milk for those who need milk. But Lord, because your word is supernatural and eternal, it can do whatever you want it to do. And so I just lift you, your presence, the name of Jesus in this place this morning. Holy Spirit, you are so welcome here. Touch every heart, touch every life, for your glory, in your name we pray, Lord Jesus, amen. My Bible says that this was a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. And those of us who've been to Israel, we know what the wilderness of Judah is. We've been out in the desert, the Judean desert, and in a place of dryness and in a place where it's parched and the water is minimal, sometimes you really got to look hard to see that the desert can also be a place of incredible beauty. And I'm not sure about where any of you are this morning, but I know that in a place of dryness and in a place of wilderness and in a place where you're feeling parched, it's hard to see the beauty, and yet in the midst of the desert, there is beauty to be seen. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you, my soul thirsts for you. You look at it closely, that place of dryness is a place where you can actually meet with God. You can have that fresh revelation of God. Every time you come to that place of dryness, in a dry and a thirsty place, my flesh longs for you. In a dry and a thirsty land where there is no water, I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. The first thing that this speaks to me about is seeking God early, every morning. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes you wake up in the morning and all you want to do is go back to sleep again. Sometimes you think, you wake up and your first thought is, oh, another day. When really, we should be waking up and saying, oh, another day, another awesome day. What is God going to do today? But the reality of it is that some days we wake up and we think, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get through this day. Or is that just me? No? Okay. I'm glad that I'm not speaking just to me, because God's speaking to me about this as well. But seeking Him early, looking for Him early every day, looking for Him through the power of prayer and through the Word. You know, the Israelites were instructed when they were going through Egypt that they had to go out early in the morning and get the manna, the fresh manna, the Word, the sustenance that they needed for the day, every day, that would fall on the ground, that God would supernaturally provide for them. And you can read that in the book of Exodus. But, you know, it speaks so much to me that early in the morning when we wake up, our first thought it must be that, God, I need you today, and I need your Word today, and I need to seek you today, and I need to walk in you today, because even though I may feel like I'm in a dry place, I see your beauty in the desert and in the wilderness and in those dry and thirsty places. Sometimes we need to be seeking Him hourly. Sometimes it's minute by minute. But there is such a necessity for us in the times that we're living in to be in His Word, to be in God's Word, because His Word is His truth. His Word is His love letter to us, and His Word is His instruction manual. It's our roadmap. It is the thing that will speak to us, bring us correction. The Word of God is useful for rebuking, for directing, for correcting, for encouraging. And, you know, if we're not in the Word every day, we're not going to receive that instruction from God that we need. We're not going to receive those beautiful strokes on the back of the head, you know, when you're a kid and your parent would pat your head. Did anybody ever have that happen? Well, Father God wants to pat you on the head today and say, it's all right, my child. It's okay. You might be struggling with one thing or another, but I'm with you and I'm walking through this with you as well. You know, the need for us to come back to prayer in such a powerful way is so all-encompassing. I went to state conference this week, and it was a bittersweet time for me because it's the first time I've been anywhere like that without my husband, who passed away a month ago today. It's the 27th of September today. But state had messaged me and asked me to come because they wanted to honour Pastor Vic at the meeting. So I went. And it was a wonderful time of honouring him. And during that time, as I sat in the meeting listening to all of those that were on the platform speaking, and I said to the Lord, what do you want to say to me through this? And I felt like God say, you need to return to prayer. You need to return to prayer and fasting. You need to return to seeking me. You need to return, all of us as a church, to the Word of God, not just a philosophy or a thought or a feeling, but a choice, an active choice to return to prayer and to the Word of God. And as the state president called me forward, I went to the platform and they honoured Pastor Vic, and it was the most wonderful thing. And it was just so good just to hear what was said. And then the state prayed for me in moving forward as pastor of the church and validated and affirmed the choices that I felt God had been showing me to make for this church as well. So it was a wonderful day, but it was a bittersweet day. And so I know in the time that we're living in that there are challenges ahead, and there may be times where you feel like you're in a desert, and there may be times where the flash floods come, as Andrew and Carolyn will tell you about. They were in a dry place and then the flash floods came this last week, is that correct, in the Flinders Ranges, but the water will come. And it will refresh and it will renew and it will bring life where there has been no life. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. And so I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. You see, people, at the end of the day, all there is God. The most amazing God, the only God, the one true God, who will enfold you and will encompass you and will encourage you and will direct you. So it's a necessity for us to set aside that time to be in his word, because through his word he can speak to us more clearly. And then this psalm had spoken to me several weeks ago after Pastor Vic passed. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. And when I stopped and thought about it, God's loving kindness to us is better than life. His love is better than life. It's an eternal perspective for a natural issue that we all deal with. His love is better than our lives, because our life is temporary. But his love, when we find him, is eternal. And he takes us beyond the natural, and he takes us beyond the temporal, and he takes us into the supernatural and into a place of knowing that his loving kindness is better than life. And so we can praise him despite what we're going through, despite what we're feeling, because it's not about our feelings, it's about the choices we make. It's about him, his word, his life, his truth, his purpose, his plan. And he is good. So no matter what you're going through, his loving kindness is better than life. Life is dear. Life is precious. But God's love is dearer and more precious. And to live in communion with God is better than life at its best. Life at ease, we can have life in a palace, we can have health, we can have honour, we can have wealth, we can have lots of good things happening in our lives, but 1,000 lives are not equal to the eternal life that God has for us as believers in him through that relationship with Jesus. Nothing compares to the love of God and that relationship that he wants to draw us into. In that dry place when we reach out, in that Judean desert where we look around and we see the dryness and we see the things that are living there looking for one blade of grass to eat. When you see the cracks in the parched ground because there's been no rain there and there's been no water there for such a long time. When you look at that and then you lift your eyes and you look at the expanse and you see the beauty, the absolute incredible beauty that God wants us to see when we're in a desert. That is his loving kindness to us, showing us that despite what we're walking through, he is good, he is wonderful. And through whatever we're trialing through, whatever challenges we're facing, if we look to him, he will show us the beauty through it. It's like the refining fire, 1 Peter 4:12, that the things that we're going through that are burning in us, that are burning the dross out of our lives, that no matter what we're going through, if we look to him, we can see that pure gold will come to the surface as we endure and, might I say, relish the suffering that we're going through, that we can face it head on. So that God's loving kindness becomes to us more precious than the very life, the very breath that we have in our bodies. Is that too much? I'm sharing what I'm walking. And I just want to share this with you because there's some absolute gems that God has shown me in recent weeks that have been such a sustenance and source of power for me in what we've walked through. As believers, our praise should be ongoing, enduring through every circumstance. Life is good, but it's transient, but his mercy is everlasting. Isn't that incredible? We can have good times, we can have fabulous times, but they're transient unless they're built in God. This week, I'm going to divert a little bit. I got a new dog. And you know, this little dog is full of life and full of joy. And his name's Teddy. Yeah, because he looks like a little teddy. But you know, I was sitting watching him last night shredding my shoe. And I thought, do you know what? It gives you joy. It gives you joy, even though you've got to buy a new shoe. But life is transient, and the joy that we have in this life doesn't last forever. But the life that God gives us is amazing, just amazing. And even though, yes, you need to get a new dog, thus saith the Lord. And even though, you know, we go through those times where we're having the joy, it doesn't last. It's only God's love that lasts. It's only His eternity that will work within us so that we can build according to the plan that He has for each and every one of us. So we need to praise God. My lips shall praise you, the psalmist says. David said, we need to do it openly so that God's glory can be made known. I will tell of your goodness, even if we do, for the time being, happen to be rejoicing in it or not. We shouldn't make our praise to God depend on our own personal circumstance. As believers, you know, our praise shouldn't depend on our feelings. Challenges or good times should not dictate how we love God and how we praise Him. Our hearts can be heavy, and yet the moment that we start to praise Him and lift our hands to Him, His presence comes in such an incredible and powerful way. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Our lives are all different. We've all got different sized shoes. We've all got a different walk. But there are parallels for each and every one of us. And, you know, as we come into those times of walking alongside with others of similar DNA to us, we understand that there are seasons as well in the lives that we live and in the associations that we have with people. But God's purpose and plan is eternal. So life is full of hellos and it's full of goodbyes. But in God, it's eternal, and we can hold fast to that and build our lives according to that. Saint Augustine said, diverse are the lives, but better is thy life than our lives. Better is that which thou givest to men amended than that which perverse men choose. One life thou givest, which should be preferred to all of our lives, whatsoever in the world we might have chosen. In other words, our lives are diverse, and we are all at a different place, but God is the best one of all for us to choose, and so we can choose Him. So I started to meditate on how grateful we are for the things that God has given us or done for us. But more than all else, how grateful are we for how He is to us, the love He has for us. And when we start to meditate on how wonderful our God is, how awesome He is, you know, we start to thank Him with grateful and thankful hearts. That power of praise and worship, that praise that went from this house this morning, would have blessed Father's heart. Abba Father would have been so well pleased with the praise from this house this morning. And I really sense in my spirit that in this house the praise and worship is going to build and is going to build, and we are going to begin to see a manifestation of the power of God in this place such as we've never known before as His presence comes. Because as we praise Him, as we lift the name of Jesus, as we exalt Him, as we push down our sense of self to elevate Christ in our lives and in this house, we're going to see a move of the Spirit of God in this place. I know it. I know it. And it might cost. It may cost big. It does cost big. But God is so worth it. And we need to prepare our hearts and our souls so that we count that cost. Are we willing to pay it? Because God wants to do incredible things. rather than being down in our circumstances, we need to make a decision to praise him despite what we're going through. It's an act of choice. Despite being in a dry and thirsty place, and you might be in a place that's abundant at this time. You might have life going on so beautifully at this time. Might all be hunky-dory and whoopee-doo and fabulous. But you know what? It doesn't last. And I hate to say that, but it doesn't. That's life. But God, his loving kindness is better than life, and it lasts for all eternity. It's an act and will. It's an act of our will to choose to praise God and acknowledge God in our lives as the most important purpose for our lives, that he is our all in all. We want to make those choices and that we can do everything that he requires of us. And for every one of us, that might look a little different. It might be you've got to lay something down. It might be you've got to pick something up. It might be that you've got to do a little pruning of things in your life so that peripherals can be chucked away, so that the fruit will come in your life. Just like in the vine, if you abide in the vine, there are things that need to get chopped off the vine before the new fruit will come every year. Those vines that are pared back and pulled in so that all those loose, tangly bits are all disposed of in the natural. And the vine dresser will take that, take all the loose bits and take all those peripherals and chop them off, and it looks like there's no life left in that vine at all. But in God, just as in the natural, that vine needs to be pruned so that the fruit can form through the coldness of winter, through the frost of winter, through the times where there are, to all sense and purposes, there doesn't appear to be any life or any fruit in that vine. Well, God is able to make that happen only if we allow him to prune in our lives so that the fruit that's in our hearts that he's put in there, he will bring to birth. He will bring it out. He will make it fruitful, and he will make us fruitful in the land despite the desert place that we might feel like we're in. You see, it's his timing, it's his purpose, it's his plan, and it's his glory that we do it for. We might be tested by fiery trials. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. Are we rejoicing in our sufferings? That when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. This is 1 Peter 4:12. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody. Busybody. In other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. And then verse 19, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Amazing, isn't it? So suffering is part of life. And we need to allow God to work in us so that in our desert we can see the beauty. That through the fiery trials we're going through, the dross is burnt away, the pruning is happening, that the fruit will come. And it's eternal fruit because it's working for him. It's doing the things he wants us to do to his will, his purpose and his plan. And then Jeremiah 18 verse 3 says, then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. You see, sometimes what we are, the cracked pots that we are, God wants to work from the inside out. and mold it from the inside out. Last week I spoke about the clay that was put on the eyes of the blind man, clay that is meant to bind and seal, and under heat becomes hard. But when we look at the potter and we look at the clay, because it was marred, the potter began to work again. And that's a picture of us. When we're on a certain path doing the things that we want to do, and then God holds us up and says, wait, this is what I want to do in you. I want to work that good thing in you so that you can reflect me. You can show the glory of your Creator through your circumstances. And so sometimes that turning and shifting and the hand on the inside of that pot vessel can feel pretty awful, pretty painful. And sometimes you feel like saying, stop, I don't want to do this anymore. And yet, when God has begun that work, Psalm 138 says, He will perfect that which concerns me. And you know what? He's concerned for you because He loves you so totally and so completely. And He will bring about the change in you that He wants to bring if you allow Him to. He is a good God. He is a good God. Sometimes we feel like we're dizzy because we're on the wheel and it's spinning. But as the hand of the potter, the master potter, comes down on us as we're turning, He will bring the shape into that vessel that's going to reflect the glory of God. The master potter, the one who has made you and is making you and will make you. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate you on you in the night watches because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you and your right hand upholds me. So the psalmist is meditating in the night watch. He's sleepless. Who struggles with sleeplessness? Meditate on Him. If God is waking you in the night, meditate on Him. Ask Him what He wants to show you. Don't worry. Don't bring all your cares and concerns. Say, Lord, I want to meditate on you in this time, in this quiet time, because it's so quiet. Nothing's awake but me. And God never slumbers and He never sleeps. He's always there. And He wants to speak to you. Because you have been my help, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 says, rejoice always. The old King James says, rejoice evermore, evermore. I like that. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Praise Him for your salvation. Praise Him for your life. Praise Him for your circumstances. Praise Him that He loves you enough not to leave you in a place of wilderness. Praise Him that in the midst of what you're going through, He is at work in your life. You love your loved ones. How much more does He? You desire to see God's will and His work done in their lives. How much more does He? Meditate on Him. Praise Him. Thank Him. Because it says, my soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me because He is your strength and He is your shield. Psalm 57:1 says, be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. Verse 3, He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. Selah. That's his pause and reflect. God shall send forth His mercy and His truth. What about our future, the unknown future? Trust him in our circumstances. Only he knows the beginning from the end and everything in between. Don't worry about your future. Commit it to him. Talk to him. Listen to him. When you're praying, when you're seeking him, take the time after you've poured your heart out to him to listen, because he wants to speak to you. And when he speaks to you, say, "Yes, Lord, I will do it." But you have to count the cost before you do it. So no one knows what the future holds except for God. And we can trust our God with our future. We can trust our God with our life. We can trust our God with our family, with our loved ones, with our church, with our community. But it requires us in our desert place to seek him, to praise him, to exalt the loving kindness that he's poured out upon us, because he is an awesome God, to declare his glory and his power, to reflect Jesus in everything that we say and do. Not to be a Sunday believer, to be an everyday believer, to shine Jesus for his glory. At the beginning of the year, I found a poem, and it's a very old poem by a lady by the name of Minnie Louise Haskins. It's called The Gate of the Year, but the God version of it is called God Knows. And I just want to read you a little bit, because it's a secular reflection of God. And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, "Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown." And he replied, "Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way." So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night. And he led me towards the hills and the breaking of day in the lone east. So heart, be still. What need our little life, our human life, to know if God has comprehension? In all the dizzy strife of things both high and low, God hides his intention. God knows. His will is best. The stretch of years which wind ahead so dim to our imperfect vision are clear to God. Our fears are premature. In him, all time has full provision. And it goes on. So if you want to read that in its fullness, look it up. The Gate of the Year by Minnie Louise Haskins. But as I looked at that again, I thought, you know what? We don't know what the future holds. It's like we're looking through a glass darkly. It's like we're looking through that mirror darkly. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, "Love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away foolish, childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as I also am known." So God knows the beginning from the end and everything in between. And we might be looking through a mirror that is dim. We might be looking through a window that is not reflecting what we need to see. But as we look to God, he's going to show us what we need to see. And we can trust him, because he is a good God. Whatever's happening in your life, know this. You might not understand it. You may not have the answers. You may be finding it incredibly difficult, but God knows. He's good. He is eternal. He loves you. He's got a plan. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And as you trust him, he'll make the way seem clear. And it's one step at a time. His word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. He makes the way where there is none. As you seek his face in prayer and in praise, he will lift the burden that you're carrying, because he's a good God. But it starts with a choice. Choosing him. Choosing his way, despite the dryness of the land. Despite the attack you might be under. Despite what seems like the impossible. Despite the diagnosis you might have received. Despite the fears that are plaguing you. Despite the circumstances that feel impossible to unravel. He is a God of the impossible. Nothing is impossible for God. And he makes all things perfect in its time. Not our time, but in his time. And sometimes it works out that the things that happen are not your plan. They're not what you wanted. They're not what you thought your future was going to look like. But God knows. He knows. Put your hand in his hand. He will take you into the unknown and you will walk safely with him, with a surety that God is good. And I can't stop saying it. God is so good. His loving kindness is better than life. And my husband has arrived. He's there. He's receiving his reward. And I'm cross that he's left me. I am. But God knows best. He knows best. And I trust him. And his loving kindness is better than life. So get up that bit earlier in the morning. I have no problem with that now. I have a little dog who wakes me at 20 past six. And so I wake up and I lift him up onto the bed with me, because I won't let him on the bed. He's only little. And I just start to praise God. I start to thank God for a new day. I thank God for the joy that he gives in every life. I start to pray for everyone here in this church. I start to pray for the day that's about to unfold for each one of you. I start to pray for the plans he has for each one of you. I pray for me too and my family. And I pray, God, let your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And your loving kindness is better than life. Lord God, I am so thankful for you. I am so grateful for you. And he restores joy. Talk to him and listen to him. His loving kindness is better than life. And I'm out of time. And I could go on. Shall I go on? Let me just tell you one thing. And I can never bring a message unless it's something that I'm walking through myself. I can only be me, because this is who God's made me and he's making me. I just want to encourage you today that no matter what you are walking through, no matter the fear you have, no matter the concerns, no matter the joy that's in your life, and your hearts may be full of joy, God has so much more for each and every one of us. And God's plan for us and for this church is that we would move forward in him, in the power of prayer, in the power of praise, and in the preaching of his word, because he wants to do a massive work in this place and through each and every one of us in this place. He is a good God. He is a good God. My lips will praise him until my last breath, which hopefully is going to be another 30 or 40 years away. But that's in God's hands too. So let's pray this morning, people. After I finish praying, we'll close the service. But if you want to come forward for prayer, if you feel like you need that touch from the Spirit of God this morning, then come and kneel at the altar. Seek him. Seek his face. A renewal of our hearts, that whatever is happening, Lord, your loving kindness is better than life. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that you are the most wondrous and most loving God. And in this place, I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you for the preaching of your word in this place. I thank you for the proclaiming of worship and praise and prayer through the worship service and through the prayer that goes up from this place. I thank you, Father God, that no matter what each one of us is going through, you have a plan, you have a purpose. And even though we may feel like we're in a desert place, Lord, let us see the beauty that you want to show us in that dry and dirty and dusty place. Because Lord, I thank you that throughout each of our lives, Lord God, there are times and seasons in everything. Father, I pray for each and every one that is in this house this morning, Lord God, that they would have a fresh revelation of your loving kindness. Father, that you would put in them a thirst and a desire for your word, to pray, to seek your face, to praise you, to put on that worship music and praise you despite what's happening in our lives. Father, that you would just give us that download from heaven, that each day we would know that you have a plan for us each and every day. Father, that from heaven you would download to us the rhema that we need each day. Lord God, it might be the last thing we want to hear, but Lord, open our hearts to hear what you want to say to us and through us, Lord God. Lord, that we would meld our will to your will, because Lord, your heart for us and for the lost needs to become our heart for the lost and this world that you've placed us in. Lord, make us fruitful in this land. Father, that you would prune us so that the fruit will come for your name's sake, for your glory. Lord, that we would praise you, that we would reflect Jesus in everything we do. And we praise you and thank you in the matchless and the most awesome name, the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And we thank you for salvation through believing on the one Son, the Holy Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed today's podcast, make sure you subscribe to stay up to date with all our latest sermons. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church, or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m.